ていう。
Time for you to step up to the plate. Place on your cleats and buckle up your chin strap. This is the Sports Fix at 6. Your chance to win today's prize from 99.1 The Sports Animal.
We've made it to hour number 4 of Sports Talk. I'm John Wilkerson with Jimmy Hyams. Today we're at Oak Ridge Nissan, right where the Turnpike meets up with Illinois Avenue. It is their year-end clearance going on now. We have a Tennessee-Florida preview. We have the Orthonox injury report coming up. We'll have a practice report with Eric Kane, but right now it's your chance to win. It's the Sports Fix at 6. Jimmy, what's up for grabs this evening?
A $25 gift card to Hound Dogs. Hound Dogs is Knoxville's oldest privately owned University of Tennessee retail fan shop. It opened in 1996. It carries all things Big Orange and strives to make your shopping experience the best ever. Hound Dogs is located at 9250 Kingston Pike. You can also find them at hdknoxville.com. $25 gift card to Hound Dogs up for grabs if you can answer this trivia question. Tennessee has had 6 different quarterbacks have a 300-yard game against the Florida Gators. Who was the first to do it? Tennessee's had 6 quarterbacks with a 300-yard passing game against the Gators. Who was the first Tennessee quarterback to accomplish that feat?
656-9900, 656-9900, star 990 is free for AT&T and U.S. Cellular customers. The toll-free number, 1-866-656-9900. Let's start with Matt. Hello, Matt.
I knew I'd be first. How about Dewey Warren?
Not Dewey Warren. Not a bad guess, but it was not Dewey.
Okay, thank you.
Matt, we sure do appreciate it. Have a great weekend. Let's go next to Richard. You're on Sports Talk. Hello, Richard.
Hello. The first one to do it, Conridge Holloway.
Not Conridge.
All right, thanks.
Thank you, Richard. Have a fantastic weekend. We go next to Mark. You're on Sports Talk. Hello, Mark.
Hey, guys. How are y'all tonight?
Doing well.
Hey, Mark.
Well,
hope you're good.
By the way, I'll be doing great if it's 38-13 tomorrow because I'm the guy that done the score of the Ford.
I thought that was you when I saw the name. It's like, I think I know who that is.
Yeah. I have tried and tried to get on there. They've drawn me one time, but this is the first time they ever picked me. So anyway, but I'd hate to lose 38-13, but I could get over it with a $45,000 truck.
that would soothe things pretty quickly, wouldn't it?
Yeah. It'd help me get over Joe Burrow right now, too. So I'm going to take a guess and say Casey Clawson.
Not Casey Clawson.
Did he do it, though, or do you know?
He did not.
But I know he beat them twice down at Florida, but I don't know how much he passed for.
Yeah, he did not.
Okay. All right. Thanks, guys.
Appreciate it, Mark. Have a great weekend. Let's go next to Doc. You're on Sports Talk. Hello, Doc.
Hello. It may be older than this, but I want to go with Andy Kelly.
It's not Andy Kelly. He did have a 300-yard game, but he was not the first in Tennessee to do it.
Okay. Thanks, guys.
Sure do appreciate it, Doc. Thank you. Repeat the question, if you would.
Tennessee has had 6 quarterbacks throw for at least 300 yards in a game against Florida. Who was the first Vol quarterback to do it?
656-9900, 656-9900. It's Adam who's up next. Hello, Adam.
Hey, guys. How we doing?
Doing well. Hope you are.
Good. Well, I'm going to go early 90s. I'm going to try Heath Shuler.
It is not Heath Shuler. Heath Shuler did have a 300-yard game against the Gators, but he was not the first to do it.
Must be before then. All right. Thank you, guys.
Yes. Sure do appreciate
there you
it.
Go.
Thank you. Let's go next to Brian. You're on Sports Talk. Hello, Brian.
Hello, Bobby Scott.
Bobby Scott is correct. Nice job, Brian. Yes, sir. Bobby Scott did it. He did it in 1970. That was the first time Doug Dickey faced the Vols after he left to go from Tennessee to Florida.
The Orange Crush game.
Yes. Yeah. So Bobby Scott threw for, 380-something yards in that game. It was an incredible performance, 385. And He was, let's see, Peyton Manning's done it, Dobbs, Shuler, Kelly, Tony Robinson, all did it. Mm-hmm. Bobby Scott, the first to accomplish that feat. Hey, Brian, congratulations to you. You've won a $25 gift card to Hound Dogs. So congratulations to you. We're going to put you on hold and get that prize to you.
Thanks, guys.
All right. Well done. And that takes care of the Sports Fix at 6. And we will have another challenging question for you on Monday. But why don't we go ahead? Oh, you were going to say, Jimmy?
That we would go to a practice report if we can.
You want to do that now?
Yeah, let's go ahead and do that.
Okay. So it's got brought to you by Pools by Heritage. And here's Eric Kane.
Well, Saturday is going to mark the 50th meeting all-time between rivals Florida and Tennessee. The Gators hold an all-time series lead at 29-20 and have won 14 of the last 15 ball games. All four meetings since the turn of the century are riding a three-game win streak over the Volunteers, who are 2-5 on the season. All five losses coming in double-figure fashion. Florida, 7-1 on the year, are 17.5-point favorites over Tennessee. Still, the series has a tendency to be decided late in ball games, as the winner has been decided by 7 points or less on 19 occasions, 3 points or less in 10 meetings. Again, it's going to be the 50th meeting on Saturday. Dan Mullen's 28-6 with 2 wins over the Volunteers in just his third year as Florida's head coach. Jeremy Pruitt, on the other hand, in his third year, 15-17 in 32 games. Obviously, the big storyline for Tennessee this week has been a COVID outbreak within the program the last 2 weeks. Jeremy Pruitt said at least 16 players have been in quarantine this week. There were a couple positive tests that showed up following the Auburn game. There were 2 positive tests earlier this week, with 1 off-the-field staffer and at least 1 player. Jeremy Pruitt did say that some of those players would return, but not all of them. So we don't know who, we don't know how many at this point. But nonetheless, Tennessee's going to be shorthanded. You're going to have some players missing. The players that have come back have not practiced in 2 weeks. It's not going to be the best showing in that regard. I would expect, coming out there tomorrow, you're going to see some different combinations on the offensive line, especially early on. You're going to see some different faces at some key positions on the defensive side of the football. There's going to be maybe more youth tomorrow than we've ever seen so far in some of those wide receivers, especially at outside linebacker and maybe even in the secondary. Just kind of where we are right now in terms of COVID-19 here in Knoxville and really across the college football landscape. On to Florida. Boy, Kyle Trask, he is a good, good player. He is a Heisman front runner, leading the nation in 34 touchdown passes. He ranks 2nd in the country in passing yards per game at 351. He's 5th in passer rating at 196.79. Here's Jeremy Pruitt on Kyle Trask.
Kyle Trask has done a phenomenal job getting the ball to the right. Playmakers, knows where to go with the ball. You know, we're familiar with him. We played him last year. He played really well against us. He's got more experience, really done a nice job getting the balls to the playmakers. Made a lot of really good decisions, has not made a lot of poor decisions. He has enough athletic ability to extend plays, I think he's played really, really well.
Aside from Trask, tight end Kyle Pitts might be the best player in the country this year. As he returned to form from a 2-game hiatus last week to notch 3 touchdowns, Pitts is only 1 of 3 players in FBS to record multiple 3-touchdown games, and his 11 touchdowns rank 4th in college football. Jeremy Pruitt had some high praise about Kyle Pitts earlier this week.
I think they've got probably the best tight end in the country, and Kyle Pitts, you know, just nobody's really been able to slow him down. The thing that has really impressed me the most about him, just in his game, everybody knew that he was a very good receiving tight end. But I think if you just look at this season, he's done a tremendous job blocking in the C area that has really elevated his game. Nobody really talks about that, but I see it. I see the way he's playing. You know, this is probably in all my years coaching, I believe he's the most talented guy that we've ever played against. You know, he's a guy that can line up and win one-on-one on corners. He can win one-on-one on safeties, linebackers. And then, like I said, he's really improved in blocking in the interior part. You know, he's just a complete football player and playing as good as anybody in our conference.
In the backfield for Florida, the Gators utilize about 3 players that average 4.3 yards as a team per carry. Damian Pierce leading the way, 412 yards, 3 touchdowns. Malik Davis and Naquan Wright also solid contributors. Kadarius Toney and Trevon Grimes paced the team as wide receivers with a combined 13 touchdown receptions. Defensively, the numbers might look a little bit inflated this year, but don't buy into that too much, per Jeremy Pruitt.
Well, I think probably some of that is the fact that you know, they've scored so fast offensively, you know, and based off the scoreboard, you know, usually as a defensive coordinator, if you're scoring 40 points a game, maybe you might play with a little, I guess maybe a softer coverages at times, you know, especially late in the game. So I don't think that's far as the points they've given up and the yardage they've given up is really an indicator of how good they are defensively. I think it's based off circumstance.
This unit does lead the league with 23 sacks. That's partially thanks to Todd Grantham's aggressive scheme. Team also averages 6.5 tackles for loss per game, led by Vintel Miller. Fantastic at the linebacker spot, leading the squad with 54 stops. Linebacker Brennan Cox, who was a transfer from Georgia, leading the squad with 7 tackles for loss and 4 sacks. Zachary Taylor leads the defensive lines with 6 TFLs and 3 sacks, both second on the team to Cox. In the back end, Florida ranks 4th in the league with 8 interceptions. Of course, have benefited from that strong pass rush in front of them, but has surrendered some big games through the air, 443 yards to Ole Miss, 338 yards to Texas A&M, and 319 yards to Vanderbilt, who ranks 11th in the SEC in passing offense. Again, any way you spin it on paper, this is a mismatch for Tennessee. Even if you go position by position, it's virtually almost dominated by Florida. Florida's a good football team. Again, 7-1 on the season, ranked 6th in the country, the second team out of the college football playoff. With a win on Saturday, Florida has clinched the East and a spot in Atlanta to take on likely Alabama in the SEC championship game. This team is knocking on the door to the college football playoff. Tennessee has struggled this year. Tennessee is struggling with COVID right now. But again, it is a rivalry game. We've seen weirder things happen. Records go out the window, and it's a chance to play for some pride if you're the Volunteers. Tennessee and Florida will kick off 3:30 Saturday afternoon. The game will be televised on CBS, but of course you can hear it right here on The Sports Animal. Our game day all-day coverage will kick off at 8 a.m. It's Tennessee and Florida tomorrow, 3:30, right here on The Sports Animal. Today's UT Football Practice Report is brought to you by Pools by Heritage. Beat the spring rush. Get your pool started now. From design to construction to maintenance, one call does it all. Call Pools by Heritage at 947-7527.
Eric Kane, we sure do appreciate it. We'll get a break when we return. A Tennessee-Florida preview. That's next on Sports Talk on 99.1 The Sports Animal.
This is the home of accurate, factual sports information. Sports Talk with John Wilkerson and Jimmy Hyams on 99.1 The Sports Animal.
Sports Talk continues today at Oak Ridge Nissan, right where the Turnpike meets up with Illinois Avenue. I'm John Wilkerson with Jimmy Hyams.
Now time for our Tennessee-Florida football preview. That is brought to you by Holco Windows and Doors, where you'll find professional installation and friendly service plus great prices. Holco Windows and Doors. All right, Tennessee taking on Florida. At Neyland Stadium, Tennessee's 2-5. Florida is 7-1, ranked number 6 in the country. Gators are favored by 17.5. Florida's also won 14 of the last 15 against Tennessee. Kyle Trask comes in with an NCAA high 34 touchdown passes. That's an SEC record through 8 games, and his favorite target, Kyle Pitts, 11 touchdown catches. Tennessee has not played a home game since October the 24th against Alabama. Tennessee head coach Jeremy Pruitt was asked if he's excited to finally get to play a home game.
We're absolutely looking forward to it. It seems like it's been forever since we've had a home game. So we'll be excited to be back in England. I think obviously it's a huge advantage for us to play at home. Our crowd has been great this year in every game, so we'll need them to be that way again Saturday.
Pruitt talks about a Florida offense that averages almost 44 points per game.
When you look at Florida, I think right now they're playing as good as any team in the country offensively. Been very efficient, especially the quarterback position. Kyle Trask has done a phenomenal job getting the ball to the right playmakers, knows where to go with the ball. You know, we're familiar with him. We played him last year. He played really well against us. I think they've got probably the best tight end in the country, and Kyle Pitts, nobody's really been able to slow him down. the thing that has really impressed me the most about him, just in his game, everybody knew that he was a very good receiving tight end. But I think if you just look at this season, he's done a tremendous job blocking in the C area, that has really elevated his game. Nobody really talks about that, but I see it. I see the way he's playing. Got really good running backs, got a bunch of wide receivers.
Pruitt was asked how Tennessee has defended tight ends this year.
It doesn't matter how we've defended them. None of them have been like this guy, right? So, you know, this is probably in all my years coaching, I believe he's the most talented guy that we've ever played against. You know, he's a guy that can line up and win one-on-one on corners. He can win one-on-one on safeties, linebackers. So, and then, like I said, he's really improved in blocking in the interior part. You know, he's just a complete football player and playing as good as anybody in our conference.
In what ways has Kyle Trask improved this year from last year?
Well, he's got more experience. You know, he's really done a nice job getting the balls to the playmakers, is made a lot of really good decisions, has not made a lot of poor decisions. He has enough athletic ability to extend plays, you know, so I think he's played really, really well.
And Florida has scored on its first possession, 6 touchdowns and a field goal. They've had 8 first game possessions, 6 touchdowns and a field goal. And Pruitt was asked about Florida's ability to script plays like that.
Dan has always done a really good job as a play caller, based off the personnel that he has on his team. You know, you look at them right now, you know, they're efficient running the football. They're efficient throwing the football. They get the ball to a lot of different receivers, a lot of different running backs. So he's always done a fantastic job mixing it up. You know, probably now they're throwing it more than they ever have. It's based off his team, right? He's got a really good quarterback with a good surrounding cast.
And also from Jeremy Pruitt, the Tennessee's head coach, as he met with the media earlier in the week, he talks about the ability – well, I've lost my place here. Sorry about that. It looks like Tennessee is going to end up going with Harrison Bailey at quarterback. We've mentioned this before about Jerry Garantano. He missed some practices. He was in isolation for a while. He's back at practice, but we think that he's not going to start. We believe it's going to be Harrison Bailey. So Pruitt talks about Bailey's development.
Well, I really don't think the issue of you know, is the playbook. You know, Harrison's a smart guy that's worked really hard. It's been more about opportunities, you know, so, and getting live opportunities, and he's had a chance to do more and more of that as the season has went.
Comments from Jeremy Pruitt. And as we mentioned, Tennessee with the, they had 16 players possibly would miss the game for a variety of reasons, whether it was having COVID or contact tracing. The SEC athletic directors voted yesterday to abide by the CDC recommendations, which is 7 to 10 days, which means it's possible Tennessee could have all of its players available for Florida. Also, with another note, Kevon Bennett, tied for first place on Tennessee's team with sacks, dismissed earlier in the week for felony drug and weapons charges. So he will not be available for the Vols. And that's our Tennessee-Florida football preview brought to you by Hoco Windows and Doors, where you'll find professional installation and friendly service plus great prices. Hoco Windows and Doors. Now time for our Tennessee football injury report. And actually, it's not too bad considering Tennessee hasn't played in a while. Our injury report brought to you by Ortho Knox. They provide comprehensive orthopedic services to treat and rehabilitate injuries and degenerative conditions that affect the upper and lower extremities, including the shoulder, elbow, hip, knee, and ankle. All right, we just mentioned Kevon Bennett being out. As far as the contact tracing, we think that everybody's going to be available. We'll see if that occurs. With Bennett out, Roman Harrison is likely to get more snaps, according to Jerry Pruitt. Harrison started strong this year. He then was bothered by some nagging injuries, and the number of snaps he played dwindled quite a bit. But now Pruitt said he's okay, ready to go.
Tennessee was being hit pretty hard on the offensive line. Jameer Johnson's been in and out of the lineup, but it looks like he's ready to roll. Jerome Carvin, an offensive lineman, also should be ready. Riley Locklear, injured earlier, is not going to be ready. He was an important part of that jumbo package that Tennessee had, but he's hurt and out for, it looks like, the rest of this season. Also, this was interesting. Pruitt had mentioned that several players played earlier this year when they had limited work during the week because they had missed due to contact tracing. That included cornerback Warren Burrell and safety Jalen McCullen. He said they played, they were kind of rusty, but didn't perform that well because they had such limited work at practice. You wonder if that might have an impact as well on some of the players that Tennessee has had missing some practices over the last couple of weeks heading into the Florida game. We shall see. But otherwise, Tennessee should be in really good shape. Not a lot of players are going to miss the contest due to injury or to COVID. And that is our injury update brought to you by OrthoNox. They use the latest surgical techniques, including arthroscopy, robotics, and orthobiologics to help their patients recover more quickly and completely. You can find out more by going to the website, which is orthonox.com. You can give them a call, 865-251-3030, two locations, the Knoxville location, Tenova at Turkey Creek, and in Athens, Star Regional Medical Center. OrthoNox with our injury report.
That's Jimmy Hyams. I'm John Wilkerson. We'll get a break and be back with more as you listen to Sports Talk on 99.1 The Sports Animal.
Follow us on Twitter at Sports Radio WNML to keep up with breaking sports news. Now, back to Sports Talk with John Wilkerson and Jimmy Hyams on 99.1 The Sports Animal.
Sports Talk continues. I'm John Wilkerson with Jimmy Hyams. Today, the program at Oak Ridge Nissan, right where the Turnpike meets up with Illinois Avenue.
Let's hear more from Jeremy Pruitt. Tennessee's head coach was on the SEC teleconference Wednesday. Here are comments from Coach Pruitt.
Obviously, it's been several weeks since we've been in Neyland Stadium. We're excited about getting here and playing in front of our fans. And, you know, we got an extremely talented Florida team that's playing really well. Very efficient on offense, obviously being able to run and throw the football defensively. They've always created negative plays, and they're really good in special teams. So our kids are excited, had a good week of practice and looking forward to it.
Hey, Jeremy, following Kevon's dismissal, who will you need to count on more? Who are you going to lean on more to take some of his reps there at outside linebacker?
Well, Tyler Barron is really played well for us and has played more and more each week. Roman Harrison played really well early in the season. He's been banged up for several weeks, but he's, with the off weeks that we've had here, he's had a chance to get healthy. And Morvin Joseph.
And then at quarterback, are you planning to go with Harrison Bailey on Saturday?
Harrison will definitely play Saturday. To what extent, we've not decided yet.
What makes you think he's ready for an expanded role now?
You know, I feel like the three games that he's played in, obviously the situations were probably favorable to him at the time, you know, based off the score. But I thought he handled himself really well. He continues to improve. So, you know, the more practice time that he gets, you know, probably the more comfortable he is in the system and his surroundings and the people around him. So.
This year, you don't have to have a winning record to be at a bowl game. If you guys do get invited to a bowl game and you're under 500, would you want to participate?
Absolutely. You know, I think it's, you know, you look at all the young men across the country that have came back. You know, they came back when they had no idea, you know, what the circumstances were. They came back because they loved the game and they wanted to have an opportunity to play. And, you know, our guys continue to work really hard, and, you know, this is 1 year. We probably will have the majority of our team back next year, and it's something that they're looking forward to.
With as many bye weeks, scheduled or unscheduled bye weeks, that you have had over the last month and a half, how difficult has it been to kind of evaluate growth on your football team over the last month and a half, Coach?
It's been real easy to me. you know, our guys continue to work hard. You know, they, to me, I felt like we've improved throughout the season. You know, the thing that we've got to do is we've got to eliminate three or four plays on each side of the ball to help us play a complete game. But I've seen we've been able to develop, you know, depth. You see guys improving, and we've got a lot of guys that are starting to play their best ball.
And with a team like Florida coming in and how explosive they are, especially defensively, how do you limit those explosive plays, especially defensively, Coach?
Well, you need to be able to keep them cut off in the back end. Don't let them throw the ball over your head. I think they do a really nice job with yards after the catch. They create explosive plays in the run game. And I think Kyle Trask does a nice job extending plays, receivers adjusting in scrambles. So you got when he gets to moving around, you got to be able to match guys in the back end.
Hey, Jeremy, which young players do you think have made the most strides over the last 4 or 5 weeks?
Well, there's a lot of them. You know, I see a guy like Dee Beckwith who basically missed the entire camp. That is, you know, and he's starting to gain confidence in the position that he's playing. You know, he's a guy that in high school played all over. A guy like Jimmy Callaway and Jimmy Holiday, two guys that played a lot of quarterback in high school that are now, you know, playing wide receiver. Keyshawn Lawrence is another guy that really played safety in high school and wide receiver that kind of bounced around a little bit for us early in the season just based off numbers, but getting him honed into a position. Omari Thomas is another guy. Jabari Smalls. We've had lots of guys that, to me, continue to improve. I'm really excited about the growth of this freshman class and our sophomores, too. I think we have 50 freshmen and sophomores on our roster, and very few of them have ever experienced spring ball. So every day that we get to go out, they work hard to improve, got great attitudes, and it's good to see.
Comments from Tennessee coach Jeremy Pruitt. Let's hear now from Trey Smith, Tennessee offensive lineman. Vince Ferrara was able to catch up with him, and you'll hear the entire interview on the Kickoff Call-In Show, which is going to be on the Vol Network before the Tennessee-Florida game. But here is Vince Ferrara with Trey Smith.
Trey, hope you had a good one. How did you spend your Thanksgiving?
Yeah, I just sort of spent my Thanksgiving at home. Didn't really do that much. I actually made a banana pudding. You know, just stayed at home, play video games all day, really. Just relax.
Obviously, 2020 is so crazy. And now you've had a third open week in a short period of time. Are you guys done with these practices and ready to just get on the field? Or do you still view them as playing catch up from before the season?
Yeah, for me, I look at these practices as really valuable time. Anytime I get a chance to practice, you know, perfect my craft, I'm pretty thankful for it considering where I was at last year, especially when it comes down to like big games and stuff like this. You know, it's a great opportunity to continue to keep knocking the rust off and get ready to go.
How much more have you been able to do this year compared to last year?
Oh, yeah, a lot more. I mean, I practice every Tuesday, obviously. And then, you know, for some weeks, it's like I'm a normal football player where I don't miss any practice or any time at all.
Give me one of your teammates or two along the offensive line that you've seen really seize those extra practices and develop during the stretch.
I would say Cooper Mays and then Darnell Wright.
What have you seen from them specifically?
Oh, Coop Dawg's a little guy. You know, he's a freshman, goofy dude. Really consider him like a little brother. Obviously, he's Kay's little brother, but, you know, I feel like we have a really close bond and connection. And just sort of seeing him grow, put him in situations where he has to be center at times, make him do the mic declarations and things like that, watch him grow up a little bit. It's pretty cool to see because I'm watching him mature and develop. And then with Darnell, you know, it was just being consistent in the things he does and, you know, performing at a high level. I think he's starting to scratch it. He still is not even there, but, you know, just seeing him making that progress is awesome.
Trey, did you think the Auburn game for your offensive line group was your best game, your most complete game this season?
Yeah, I would say it's probably my best games for sure this season. I think we dominated them up front, just being honest. But, I mean, kudos to those guys. They're well coached up there, and it's a good ball club, good ball organization as well.
What gives you confidence, hope, that you guys can sustain that and build off of it and continue to get even better on that O-line?
Yeah, man. I mean, this is a mentality just coming week in, week out. I think I mentioned earlier, you never get too high, you never stay too low. You know, you stay even tempered the whole time. You know, we had a good performance last week. That was last week. What are we going to do this week?
What have you seen from the offense overall during this open week since that Auburn game?
Yeah, just, you know, better communication, just coming around together and just getting more comfortable, just trying to gel more, you know, as an offense.
Guys that have had to go into contact tracing, how have they handled that either from a mental standpoint or just try doing the right thing and making sure you're still involved even if you can't physically be there?
Yeah, I mean, it's tough, especially when you don't really have to wake up and go places. you know, you're sort of confined to a Zoom call or things like that. But it's just sort of our job. You know, I know we're not quote unquote employees, but we are. But it's our job to do this. You know, when I wake up in the morning, they know that their Zoom calls they have to go. They know the meetings they have to attend. They know that they still have to be sharp because when the time comes for them to come back, they have to be ready to play because we still have 3 games a season. But, you know, it's just one of those things they have to be responsible with. It's tough, though.
When you guys go out on the field, it'll be 42 days in between games at Neyland Stadium. Have you thought about how long it's been since you've been able to play at least in front of a limited crowd at Neyland Stadium?
Yeah, I didn't even think about it, but yeah, it sounds about right. I was thinking about how many, you know, away games we've had. Mm-hmm. But, you know, it's going to be nice being home. I think that sort of plays to our advantage a lot of times when you don't have to do all the traveling, all the extra stuff, and, you know, it can sort of be a wear and tear and beat down on the body and the mind. But, you know, just being able to stay, you know, and just be mentally present is going to definitely play to our advantage.
Comments from Tennessee offensive lineman Trey Smith with our Vince Ferrar. You can hear all of Vince's interview with Trey on the Kickoff Call-In Show, which will precede the Tennessee game against the Florida Gators.
That's Jimmy Hyams. I'm John Wilkerson. We'll get a break and be back with a final segment to today's edition of Sports Talk. Today at Oak Ridge Nissan, right where the Turnpike meets up with Illinois Avenue as you listen to 99.1 The Sports Animal.
From the Budweiser studios of The Sports Animal.
I would like to extend to you an invitation to the pants party.
We are 99.1 The Sports Animal.
Final segment to today's edition of Sports Talk. I'm John Wilkerson with Hyams. We're at Oak Ridge Nissan, right where the Turnpike meets up with Illinois Avenue.
Let's hear now from Florida coach Dan Mullen. He was on the SEC teleconference earlier this week. Here are comments from Coach Mullen.
A big, always a huge rivalry game, the Florida-Tennessee game. You know, our guys are excited about getting out there, going to play, and playing in a big game against a very talented, really good Tennessee football team.
Talk about what's allowed Kyle Trask to make that jump from last year to this year.
Really just great work ethic, you know. I mean, he's a guy that obviously, to get to where he was last year, showed a tremendous resiliency, work ethic, and, you know, can mental toughness to constantly prepare the right way when he got his opportunity. I think he really took advantage of it, and then continued to prepare all through the off season. And I think, you know, the difference is he was preparing with experience of having played, not just preparing to be ready to play, preparing with experience to be ready to play. And, you know, he's coming out and playing at a high level, executing the offense.
Also with Kyle Pitts, what do you know about his recruitment? And was he recruited as a tight end or any other position?
Yeah, you know, I mean, he was here. When I got hired, he was committed to Florida. And so he's got on the phone to him right away, watched him on film. You know, if you watch his high school film, he was a dynamic playmaker on offense. He was, as you can imagine, he was a pretty explosive pass rusher on the defensive side of the ball. But I knew for him, he always thought he was an offensive player, and that's the first discussion we had, which was he was a guy I thought I called him. I said, hey, you can do just about anything at the college level. And he's like, Coach, I think I'm an explosive offensive player. And I said, sounds good to me. Let's go with it.
And was he as a tight end all along? Or
He was he was a tight end in high school. He was a tight end.
Yeah, hey Dan. Last week you were discussing the best offenses you've been around, Utah 04, 08 Gators, Mississippi State 14, this one. But what kind of characterizes this group? You said they're all kind of different. What's the kind of the personality and character of this group?
Well, you know, I mean, some of those in different deals, you know, I mean, this group, I think, tends to be, even though we want to be balanced, I mean, this group views themselves as a pass-first group. Even though I think if you look, you know, a lot of times statistically we try to be very balanced in the course of the game. I think the confidence of this group of throwing the football maybe makes them different than some of those other teams. You know, I think probably 08 Gators were probably a little bit more run heavy with explosive playmakers. And 14 Mississippi State was a very truly balanced, you know, 50-50 run pass. But Utah was a long time ago. I think we were just kind of running an offense that nobody had ever seen before. with great playmakers and a great quarterback. And so it's different. But this group, I think there is great confidence with these guys when we throw the football, whether it be play action or whether it be drop back pass. There's great confidence in our execution that way.
And in just terms of playmakers, weapons, let's say, where does this kind of fit in with those? Does it have more in some ways? I mean, more versatility, more weapons than maybe any you've coached?
I don't know if that's the case. I mean, you look at some of those teams in the past. If you're going to have an explosive offense, you have multiple weapons all over the field, you know. But I think one thing all of those teams had in common was a great quarterback. I think that is a huge factor in the whole deal, whether you're – I mean, Alex Smith is still, you know, got a chance to come not just be the NFL comeback player of the year but lead his team to the playoffs. Dak Prescott, you can see what his loss is even at the next level. From there, Tim Tebow still might be have the greatest college career in history. So, you know, they all of them had a great quarterback, and then a surrounding cast that had a different, you know, maybe each one of them probably had a different surrounding cast, but a lot of playmakers within their surrounding cast.
Florida's one of several SEC teams that had 3 weeks off because of postponements. And then you guys came back and obviously played really well against Missouri, and some of these other teams have done the same. I would have thought if you were off 3 weeks, you'd be rusty. And, of course, you guys missed practice, a lot of practice time too. But does it surprise you that the teams are playing well after 3 weeks between games?
Yeah, I don't know that in a normal season you might expect that with everybody else, but I think this is such a different year, and I think the guys within our program, I know, I don't know about other people, but as you know, we started talking about dealing with all the different adversities that could throw themselves at us this season. We started talking about those back in March and April, you know. So I think our guys were kind of prepared for any type of curveball that was thrown at us throughout the whole year, and have done a great job adapting. So,
Dan Mullen, head coach, Florida Gators.
And that's going to do it for today's edition of Sports Talk. We, of course, remind you, come on down to Oak Ridge Nissan. It is their year-end clearance sale. Make the short 10-minute drive from anywhere and save thousands at Oak Ridge Nissan. Jimmy Hyams, have a great night.
John, you too. Have a great weekend.
This is Sports Talk.